Hebrews 11:31. And there's the reference to Rahab. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. It's encouraging for us, beloved, that there is a Rahab included in this list of examples of children of God who have lived and have died by faith. Encouraging because I am sure that most of us don't feel that we qualify as candidates to be upon that heroic list. Abel, Enoch, Noah, oh, the Bible describes them in their strength, in their power, in their life of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the children of Israel, and the wonderful Exodus and the victory of walking through the waters of the Red Sea by faith. But the Lord saw fit to put also a Rahab here. And that gives us encouragement, because I suppose if you put Rahab next to the others, it doesn't seem very likely that she belongs here. Rahab was one of the little women. Rahab, an unlikely candidate to be found here. Rahab, a citizen of Canaan, not even a Jew, a Gentile. Not even one that lived a good life, outwardly good life. I'm sure that there must have been other Canaanites, either citizens of Jericho, that God in his infinite wisdom could have chosen in the place of Rahab. But God chose a harlot, a wicked woman, Canaanite, one that we would say is most unlikely. And even in her act of faith, resorted to deception, told a lie, hid the spy, deceived her pursuers, and manifest her faith. I say, beloved, that gives us encouragement, lest we should despair and say, well, it is impossible, I don't measure up, it's way out of reach that I should ever imagine that I can have in my heart the assurance that I too have this faith. For that reason, the Lord in his wisdom put Rahab. Her faith was crucial to the conquest of the land of Canaan. Last Sunday we saw on the basis of verse 30 that the walls of Jericho fell down. The Lord gave the inhabitants of the land and of the city to the children of Israel by a mighty hand. His curse and judgment was upon the wicked, but he saves his people. And all of that is because crucial to it was Rahab. Rahab, who performed her deed of faith, hid the spies, declared by that act that she too would risk her life, and God used it as a powerful means for the salvation of his people and the destruction of the ungodly, even Jericho itself. Besides that, we have a wonderful example of free and sovereign grace. God doesn't save people because he thinks they're a little better than others. He doesn't save people because he figures out that they are more worthy to be saved or that they can help him along in their salvation. God deliberately chose a harlot, a sinful woman, to be a tool in his hand for the salvation of his people and the conquest of the land, the acquisition of Cain and the type of heaven, because salvation is the wonder work of God by free grace. which he accomplishes, that the glory may be unto him forever. Let's examine that this morning then. Rahab hid the spies by faith. Let's first of all consider who she was. Secondly, let's notice her act of faith and the hiding of the spies. And finally, that her faith is rewarded when she's saved with the children of Israel. We saw last Sunday that Jericho represented the kingdom of the Antichrist. Just as Canaan is a type of heaven, and as Israel must have stood with expectation on the border of the land of Canaan, as they longed for the land flowing with milk and honey, as they hoped to receive as a gift of God the promised land, so we by faith stand before the portals of heaven. The joy, the relief, the victory, the deliverance from sin, the removal from sorrow, and always to praise and adore God forever and ever. But Jericho stood in the way. Jericho was critical for the obtaining of the whole plain that lay before them. If Jericho would stand, Israel could not receive Canaan. If Jericho would fall, they would receive the land of Canaan as a gift of God. So we know too, between us and our entrance into the fullness of the kingdom of heaven is the Antichrist, the kingdom of this world that stands in rebellion against the living God, that builds to itself empires of gold and silver, of prosperity, that secures itself with armaments and warfare, whose citizens are harlots, spiritual harlots, walking in iniquity and perversion against the living God. The only way we can enter into the blessedness of heaven is that the kingdom of Antichrist will be destroyed. And we saw last Sunday, God destroyed Jericho by a mighty act of his own sovereignty. And so he also, in the return of Jesus Christ, will reduce the kingdom of this world into a kingdom of death. They did receive the Lamb. Jericho fell. And Israel obtained their inheritance as a free gift of God, because he's true to his promise. Now, beloved, we see in this final reference to a personal expression of faith, by faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish with the inhabitants of Jericho. But the thrill of the gospel, beloved, is this. Rahab was a citizen of Jericho. She belonged there. She was born there. She lived there. And all of that is expressed in that horrible designation, the harlot Rahab. That says it all, doesn't it? I suppose if we could go back to the civilization of Jericho, harlotry was an accepted form of behavior there too, as it is in much of society today. Some commentators suggest that Rahab could be called the innkeeper instead of the harlot. And there's a reason for that, because it was simply a tradition in that time that the innkeeper was a harlot. They went together. And because this is a depraved society, this is Jericho, this is the world, they tolerated harlots. It was part of their accepted norm of behavior. They went along with it. I suppose in a certain sense, Rahab was an admirable citizen in their midst. Oh, perhaps some of them had their slurring remarks about prostitutes as the oldest profession. It probably was true in that day too. But nevertheless, it was condoned. Rahab had her place in that godless society. And we have the same thing today, of course. We can draw a parallel. There are Rahabs today all over America. The normally accepted behavior in American society has deteriorated, hasn't it? Probably you've noticed two articles in the paper. All kinds of preparations are being made for the Olympic Games in Los Angeles, and we're told that prostitutes from all over the world are converging on Los Angeles now already. So things haven't changed too much. The way of life, the style of life, the perversion of life, the corruption of life, Jericho represents the ungodly world, society apart from saving grace. And the Bible has some very severe things to say about harlots and about adultery and about fornication. Let me just read a few verses that Solomon wrote describing the way of a foolish woman described in the book of Proverbs as a harlot. In Proverbs 9, verse 13, she's a foolish woman, clamorous, simple, knowing nothing. She sits at the door of her house on the seat of high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The first chapter of Romans, Paul there describes also sexual perversions. Today it's homosexuality and lesbianism and every form of abomination as the description of man's depravity. It represents in Scripture the bottom of the pit. Man sinking to the depths of his immorality, and associated with that, of course, is drunkenness and drugs and rock music and every form of abomination in society that revolves around such a perverted expression. Now, why is this mentioned? It's mentioned, beloved, because Rahab represents you and me. We're not going to sit in church this morning and throw stones at Rahab. We're going to put our hand in our bosom and realize it comes out leprous. This is the gospel, not that there are harlots in the world and that amongst the children of God in the world there are some harlots who are converted. That's true. And we thank God that we see here too with Rahab. She was taken out of the dregs of that Canaanite society as an example that God will save undeserving, wretched, miserable sinners. And you and I are harlots. It doesn't make any difference if we are not actually committing harlotry and prostitution and committing sexual sins. There's plenty of them too in our lives. But the point is that this represents abominable works of iniquity. And you and I have all kinds of them. That's why I say it's heartening. It's heartening that the gospel, God and His mercy included amongst the heroes of faith, a harlot, a former harlot. And we don't have to look at one another and think, oh, look at the past, look at that person's background, look where that person has come from. The point is, we, beloved, are all conceived and born in sin. And some of us may have a darker background than others, but the point is, no matter what our background may be before God, we are spiritually corrupt, violators of His commandments, murderers, thieves, adulterers, every abominable work. And the thrill is that God now saved Rahab. Didn't deserve to be saved. She wasn't one of the better citizens of Jericho, so she was outstanding. But God worked even as Jesus worked. amongst publicans and sinners, so that self-righteous Pharisees poked up their noses even at Jesus and said, "This man is a friend of publicans and sinners." And in the Greek, the sinner is a reference to prostitutes. And they sat at Jesus' feet, beloved, and wept and dried their tears with their hair. Why is that true of Jesus? Why is the one example of the old covenant a harlot? That you and I are spiritually honest with ourselves. That we're not Pharisees. We're not self-righteous. We don't put ourselves above others. But we thank God for mercy and love for Jesus' sake, for undeserving, wretched sinners. It is nothing more, beloved, than sovereign grace that brought such a harlot to faith. And Rahab had faith. We read from the account in the second chapter of Joshua. Let me just point out to you some of the beautiful expressions of her faith. Remember verse 9 and 10? "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." How many of us say that? That the terror of God's people is fallen upon the wicked. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, Og and Zihon. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." There you have all the elements of the gospel. She knew God, the true God. She doesn't refer to Jehovah as equal to the gods of the Canaanites, whose hands were of wood and stone, who had heads but they couldn't think and couldn't act, idol gods. Oh no, she makes a reference to Jehovah, the one true God who has manifest Himself in His power and His glory. What she's saying here is that there is one God, the God of Israel is the only God. You have that also in verse 9. And she said, "I know that Jehovah has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us." There you have one that is already smitten with a conviction of sin. What is terror? It is terror not only to stand before the might of God. That's true. And that terror was on all the inhabitants of the land. The God who smote Egypt with 10 plagues and killed the kings of the Canaanites, Og, and king of the Amorites, Zihon. Those two mighty nations are mentioned because those two powerful nations represented the very epitome of success. The strongest nations were these two great nations, and they were dashed to pieces. She realizes that Jehovah is a righteous God, a God who is jealous of His love, a God who does not love all mankind, but a God who loves Himself and in His self-love preserves for Himself His honor and His glory. And therefore is He a God of vengeance upon the wicked. She saw that. She saw in the third place that there was hope. She makes reference to the Red Sea. She makes reference to the fact that in verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings," and so on. Already here she's grappling, as we saw in the preceding verses, that by faith they crossed the Red Sea as by dry land. which the Egyptians trying to do were drowned. She saw this in a nut form, in its nucleus. She saw that their salvation, washing, cleansing, that the only reason that Israel was redeemed was because they are sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now what does she do? She sees something of the magnitude of the love of God when she says, include me. I too want to be part of that. I too believe that the love of your God is the love that God has for me. And I too want to be part of that. She saw salvation. She saw hope and glory. Now she saw all of that, as is obvious, because she received the gospel. Now in those days, I don't suppose there was any missionary that went to preach to Rahab. There's no reference to that. The question may arise, well, how could Rahab have that faith? And then to understand that we see that this is part of what's called sacred history. This is Old Testament history. And in the events of the history itself, God spoke to people. God spoke now to Rahab through the events, even as they were rumored about throughout the land, and they heard what God had done in Egypt and what God had done in Moab and what God had done in Ammon, how God had, with a mighty hand, brought his people to that promised land. That was the declaration of the gospel to Rahab. She heard it, and the Holy Spirit also of the Old Covenant spoke to her and brought her to that conviction. And similarly today, it is that same truth that is trumpeted throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, and that is how great our God is. A God who thunders judgment against the ungodly, the wicked. A God who loves his people in Jesus Christ. A God who saves through the blood washing of the Red Sea. It's that same gospel that's trumpeted throughout all the world. And the Holy Spirit uses that gospel to work faith. So Rahab is saying this. This God is my God. And his people are my people. And that too is for me the joy of my faith. I want to be part of the people of God. Is that your faith, beloved? That great God, righteous and loving, powerful to save, just in his judgment. Rahab did not perish with them who were destroyed. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, the inhabitants of Jericho perished. And they perished because they heard the same gospel. It isn't so that God is a tyrant. It isn't so that in the sovereignty of God, he destroys the wicked, and that we have to picture in our mind that these wicked are wanting to be saved and hoping to be saved, and that God in cruelty is saying no. Don't you forget that when the citizens of Jericho heard the message of God's mighty works, what did they do? They closed the gates. By that act, they are declaring to God that God stays out. They don't want him in. They don't want the gospel. They're saying to the living God, they would rather perish with the ungodly than bend the knee in heartfelt repentance and turning from sin. You see, the faith of the Rahab, the harlot, is certainly not that Rahab was saved as the harlot. He's called the harlot here only to emphasize her former life and the power of the gospel to save her. But Rahab was not a harlot anymore. Her faith had brought her to her knees. She saw that it was a wrong way of living. It was sin against the living God. She stood stunned before the majesty of God. It sanctified her. But the inhabitants of Jericho, they locked the gates. And when the armies of Israel surrounded the city, they're testifying to God their stubbornness of heart and rebellion. They're going to go on in their sins. They don't want anything to do with the living God. And they stand in the hardness of their hearts. What they're saying to God is, we want our sins. We want our idolatry. We want our fornication and adultery. We want our drunkenness. We want our drugs. We want our sinful life. Away with the living God. We'll close the gates and we will have a confrontation. We'll rather die. We'll say to the living God, we'd rather go to hell than bow our knees in faith before Jehovah. There's the separation. And therefore the emphasis of Rahab's faith is upon her action. That's why we read here, by faith the Rahab, the harlot, perish not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. The Holy Scripture picks it up when James writes in the second chapter of his book, verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? That's the emphasis here. The emphasis is that the faith of Rahab was this, that not only did she believe in God, but that faith became a powerful action in her life. And that's amazing, isn't it? You'd say for a new convert, with one that had such little contact with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet what does she do? In her faith which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in her faith, she says to those travelers that have come into my house, she received them, she hid them, she testifies to them, she delivers them. That's tremendous, isn't it? The emphasis, she received the spies with peace. In the providence of God, we don't know the details how that all happened, but that God guided those two spies so they came into the city and guided them into the harlot Rahab's house. Maybe that wasn't in yet, so that maybe as a former harlot, she still had her house as an inn so that they would go and stay there for the night. That's possible. And when they came to her, she received them with peace. And that emphasis there, peace, is not, she just simply said to them, well, yeah, I've got a place for you, or I have a house or a room that I can rent for you. But she received them with peace. That is the attraction of faith. Here's Rahab longing for companionship, longing to speak with someone else, longing for the friendship, the true spiritual friendship, the communion of the saints. And it must have been Rahab with joy that she received these two spies into her house. They had come from Israel. They were the ones who believed in Israel's God. Here she stood before those who were flesh and blood, fellow saints. She received them in peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus. And she told them that Jericho was going to be destroyed. Mind you, here you have these spies, and I suppose they're scared. They're undercover agents. They're in hostile territory. And here they are right inside the walls of the city that's threatened. And Rahab comes and says to them, my brothers in the Lord, Jericho is going to be destroyed. Don't worry. God will have his way with Jericho. And the third thing she says, I'll hide you. I'll even cover up for you. I'll even preserve your life. But in her face she says this, include me and my family in the covenant of grace. Oh, don't leave me alone in this hostile world of the damned. May it not be that we and our children, our families, and the emphasis is on her father and her mother and her brothers and her sisters, we're left to be destroyed with the ungodly, but that we may be part of it. And she hid the spies. By faith, the emphasis is, she knew she could get herself into a lot of trouble. And she did, so much so that she had to lie her way out of it. But the fear of that trouble did not stop her. And she loved those who had come to her. She saw them as the servants of God. She saw that God would use them for good. And that she would not even tremble when she realized that all her fellow citizens are going to be destroyed before the righteous God. She hid them. I know she told a lie. We don't justify that. But the Lord understands. Lord knows, even in that way when we're afraid and sometimes it seems as if we have to lie our way out, the Lord overruled all those things too so that everything served the purpose that Rahab and her family was saved. Do you have that quality of faith, beloved? We have to ask ourselves that, don't we? So easy to be Armenians. Armenians, you know what they say always and again? They say always again, just accept Jesus. Believe, accept the Lord. And hallelujah, you're saved. Though it's true, we're saved in the way of faith and believing in the Lord. But as Reformed people, we look at that and we often refer to that as cheap believism. Well, that's cheap. Believe, yes, accept Jesus. Hallelujah, you're on your way. But I'll tell you, beloved, Rahab's faith required of her that she put her life in jeopardy. Do you have that kind of faith, beloved? That's the faith that separates us from the world. No, we mustn't deceive ourselves to think that we have faith if we're always living in the streets of Jericho and going to their whorehouses and walking in their taverns and being good friends with Jericho. Then we mustn't deceive ourselves that we have faith. The point of Rahab's faith is the proof of her faith in her activity. That's where we have to stand before the living God. That's the proof. She hid the spies. She was willing to condemn her own city. She was willing to be an agent in the hand of God for the destruction of her fellow citizens. She couldn't be in their company. She could no longer eat and drink and dance and have fun with them. But all her heart was with the people of God. To be saved. To be a peculiar people. To live as a stranger. To hide the spies. Is that our faith? That's the proof, beloved. And the Lord rewards that faith. Oh, we saw that last Sunday by reference to the walls of Jericho. But, beloved, for all eternity, the saints are always going to have a picture in their mind of crushed rocks, walls, thick walls that had houses on top, all crumbled and smashed to the ground except the wall under one house. One section of the wall stood still, straight, all by itself, because a scarlet thread was hanging out of the window of that house. And that thread, beloved, represents the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the spies said to her, look, we'll take an oath, we'll promise you in the name of God and His love that if you're in your house, whoever is in your house, and that required faith to believe that God could bring that citadel, that city locked up, could destroy it. Her father and her mother and her brothers and her sisters had that same faith, or they would never have gotten in that house. They would have laughed and said, Rahab, you're a fool. You're a fool. You think these walls are going to fall down? Who's going to come in here? The gate's locked. Those silly people out there. But they got inside that house because they believed that the blood of Jesus Christ saved them from destruction. And when that cord was hanging there in the window, that rope, and the walls fell down, Rahab and her family were saved. God, beloved, rewards faith. He rewards faith in His mercy. He rewards it in His love. He cares for His people so that in that we see then a type of heavenly glory, so that Rahab and her family could come down and could be part of the congregation of the children of Israel. And as we read also in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 verse 5, of all things, Rahab has her place in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She's in the motherhood of the Savior. If that isn't mercy, beloved, if that's not love, what is it? Oh, that you and I can find our safety, our eternal security, our joy and our peace with Rahab, to condemn the world, turn our backs to sin and destruction, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and live in that faith with the people of God, and to enter into the blessedness of heavenly glory forever. The glory of that faith is God's forever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, grant unto us the faith of the harlot Rahab. Lord, Thou dost know our sins better than we know them ourselves. Thou dost know all our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Grant unto us the strength to confess them before Thee, to forsake the way of the ungodly, to follow after Thee, the true and living faith, that we may have our place with Thee now, with the saints, and into all eternity in the heavenly Canaan, the New Jerusalem, where the glory shall be Thine forever and ever. Father, work that work. We thank Thee for that, for the Holy Spirit's sake, even in Jesus Christ. Amen.